My name's Ben, I'm campus leader here, which means probably nothing to you, but I am part of the staff here. It's great to see you all. I was at the opticians the other day, and it's always weird telling someone what you do for a living when you work for the church. Yes, I am a man of the cloth. And I sat there, and the guy said, "Okay, mate," because he's from Wigan, "okay, mate, right, okay, all right, right, let's write this down, okay, right, what's your name?" "Okay, my name's Ben." "Okay, Ben, that's great. What's your last name?" "Tarbuck." "Tarbuck, fantastic. And what's your eye colour?" "Blue." "Blue." "Oh, your eyes look fantastic, mate." I said, "Well, thank you very much, that's very kind of you. Lots of wrinkles, slightly sunken eyes, that's okay, I've got 2 kids and 5 hours sleep, but hey-ho, here we go. And what do you do for a living?" And I said, "Oh, well, you know, I lead a church down in town." And "Oh, my God." I said, "No, it's Ben." "Not gone." He said, "Well, you're too young to be a priest." And I said, "Well, I'm not technically a priest. I don't kind of go for the gown thing." "Well, you look too young to be a vicar." And I said, "Well, I'm not clever enough to be a vicar." He said, well, what are you then?" I said, "Well, I'm just Ben, really. I don't really know what I do from day to day, really. I just kind of survive." So apart from this being a counselling session where you are forced to listen to me for the next half an hour, I wanted to bring to you a thought today before we go off and we enjoy the rest of the festivities together. I believe we've got free popcorn, free candy floss for everyone. So if you're diabetic in the room, we should have thought about you, Ben. We planned this. So just bite at the air. And you'll be safe. It's fine. But first of all, can we just thank everybody that kind of put today together? The team who did the egg hunt, Kids Church, the band. Thank you so much. What a great day it is. And if you're a visitor here, then extra special welcome to you. Okay, I'm going to read something. Are you ready? Everyone say, "I'm ready." Okay, we're going to read from a book called the Bible. It's a book called the Book of John. And it's written by a guy called Steve. That's right, Steve wrote the Book of John. Written by John, who knew Jesus personally. And so when we read this story, we can trust it because someone was there in the room watching what happened. So this is what John says. And I want to introduce you to someone today called Thomas. Thomas, who has got a bit of a bad rep over the years, but I want to explain why you and I are a little bit more like him than we realize. John chapter 20. It will be on screen if you don't have your Bibles with you, okay? And I'm reading it on my phone. Because I'm addicted to my phone. That's another counseling session altogether. John chapter 20. One of the 12 wasn't present when Jesus appeared to them. It was Thomas. We all have one of those friends where, oh yeah, it was that guy. Okay, that guy left the fridge open at the staff offices. Okay, this was Thomas, whose nickname was the Twin, which is hilarious. Seems that's a bit of an oxymoron that only one of them was called the Twin. And if you don't know where the story is up to in the narrative of Jesus, Jesus has died, as we sung about before. Spoiler alert. He rose again a few days later, and after that point, he's just been popping up all over the show. Whoa! Jesus is in the room. Whoa, amazing. So this is, and he's here today, people, in the room, coming out, Jesus. No, I'm joking. Well, he is here. It's more of a metaphor. Okay, this is going better than I thought. John chapter 20. So the disciples informed Thomas, "We've seen the Lord with our own eyes." Still unconvinced, Thomas replied, "There is no way. There's no way I'm going to believe this unless I personally see the wounds of the nails in his hands and touch them with my finger and put my hand into the wound of his side where he was pierced." And that's fair enough. You know, if someone said, "Oh, we've just seen a dead guy in the room. He died a few days ago." You'd be like, no, you didn't. Too many pies. 26. Then 8 days later, Thomas, and they had pies, by the way, in the Old Testament, just to let you know, no pork in them because they didn't like it. It was a cultural thing. It was like a vegan pie. It was just filled with fresh air. Verse 26, then 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in the house together. And even though all the doors were locked, John is just making us, by the way, this was bulletproof. You couldn't get in or out. So the doors were locked. Jesus suddenly stood before them. Oh, Jesus! And he said this, "Peace to you." Then looking into Thomas's eyes, Thomas had to change his pants by this time, by the way. Looking into Thomas's eyes, He said, put your finger here in the wounds of my hand. Isn't that interesting that Jesus almost knew what he said without even being there? Here, put your hand into my wounded side and see for yourself. Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe. Then the word spilled out of his heart. Man, if you saw Jesus face to face, the words would just, it would just spill out of your heart. You are my Lord and my... Jesus responded, Thomas, now that you've seen me, you believe. But there are those who've never seen me with their eyes, but have believed in me with their hearts, and they'll be blessed even more. Who are those people? It's you. Did you know that you're even more blessed than anyone who saw Jesus face to face? Because you have not seen with your eyes, but yet you believe in your heart. Jesus went on to do many more miracles, miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even included in this book. I don't know whether John's like planning a trilogy or he wants to sell his sequel. I don't know what the deal is there, but maybe he just wanted to go to bed. Verse 31, but all that is recorded here is so that you will fully believe that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you will experience eternal life by the power of his name. Wow. Isn't that fantastic that we get to experience? First thing I want to talk about is honesty. Let's move this out of the way. It's honesty, because we all love a bit of honesty. I remember one time, and I'm really honest with my wife all the time, and especially when it comes to marshmallows. I have an issue, people. Whenever there's marshmallows in the house, I just go crazy, okay? And so she'll go to the cupboard and there'll be a packet of marshmallows somewhere. And 2 days later, right, she'll do a Morrison shop. 2 days later, they'll be in there and she'll say, oh, Ben, can you come in here, please? And real posh, and goes, oh, darling, can you come in here? And then I know, okay, I know it's about to go down. It's Good Friday, okay? For me, it's Good Friday. And so I walk into the kitchen, she's like, there's some marshmallows in here. Do you know where they've gone? Oh, actually, sometimes I do eat some of my children's chocolate. Right, don't judge me, people. I know you've done it. I've had a dad. All right. And she says, I'm just wondering. She's so fantastic. She's like, as if like, you know, in the Garden of Eden where God knows everything and then Adam and Eve like eat the forbidden fruit and God asks Adam, so, you know, why are you naked? You know, it's a bit like that. It's a bit like, come on, I'm loading the conversation. So where have they gone now? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe the dog ate it. She's like, we don't have a dog. And I'm like, well, if we did, he would eat it. And sometimes I just can't confront my issues with sugar, people. But what's the point of my... Easter Sunday. This is what he said, verse 25. There is no way I'm going to believe unless I put my finger on his wound. There's no way I'm going to believe. But here's the paradox. I am only as close to God as I am honest with him. I am only as close to God as I am honest with him. Thomas. Jesus appeared in front of Thomas. And he was the doubter. And when Jesus turns up, by the way, if we read the story, the first thing he says is, peace to everybody. Thomas, you're an idiot. Well, he didn't. That's my version. That's the BTV. He casts over the room and then speaks to Thomas as if he knows what's already happened. But don't you see, because of Thomas's honesty, Jesus was able to speak into his life. But yet, sometimes in our culture, we are told to just keep it all down. We're told not to be honest, when actually honesty is the very thing that brings you closer to God. If I'm always hiding my marshmallow issues and addiction with my wife, or if I'm hiding anything from her, either I'm doing stuff wrong ignorantly or I'm hiding stuff, how many believe that I'm not going to sense any real intimacy? She doesn't really know what's going on. Like in any relationship, honesty is key. Now, we read from this story that we don't need to be afraid to be honest with God. Because even when you doubt Jesus behind his back, he will always come back to you face to face and look you in the eye. Thomas reflects later on in his life about this story, I believe. And he writes in his book that bring forth what is within you, because that which is within you will save you. Bring forth that which was in you. Now, what does that mean? That means if you bring anything to God, he will use that to show you that he loves you. That I can bring forward my doubt. I can bring forward my shame. I can bring forward my mistakes. And guess what? I'm not rejected. I'm not alone. I was lost, but now I'm fine. He's not going to throw me on the heap. He's going to accept me, and I almost like I can bring my dreams to him. I can bring my hopes to him. I can bring all the great stuff to him, and he will show me just how much he loves me through that honesty. I am only as close to God as I am honest with him. And I love what Jesus says, peace to you, peace to you. Imagine the room. How crazy would that have been? Jesus. Imagine that. Peter screaming like a girl. Ah! I mean, John running out there. John saying, what's going on with Jerusalem Times? What's happening? Thomas thinking, oh dear. Crazy scenes, but the thing that Jesus, the first thing out of his mouth is, peace to you. But Jesus did all that through the New Testament, through the other Gospels. That's what he did. He turned up in random situations and said, peace. He commanded peace and it happened. He stood with a sick girl and commanded her to be healed, and she was healed. He stood in front of the woman caught in adultery who was about to be stoned in front of her accusers and said, let him without sin cast the first stone. He stood on the front of a boat and said to a storm that was about to overcome a ship, he stood before, the writer says he stood before them and said, peace. And I believe today that Jesus in every circumstance not only stands behind us, but he stands before us and he says, peace to your sickness. He says, peace to your accusers. And it doesn't matter whether the waves are getting higher, whether you're feeling the wind on your face, he will stand before you at the edge of a boat. Come on, somebody. And he will say to that storm, be still. And the storm will be stilled. Someone called Jesus the Prince of, you got it, the Prince of Peace. And he's doing it still today because our God is the same yesterday. Come on. Today and come on. There's couple of things and then I want to sing together. And then we'll go and enjoy some more chocolate. Verse 27. I want to talk to you a little bit about wounds for a minute. Everyone say wounds. Wounds. Then, looking into Thomas's eyes, he said, put your fingers here on these wounds. I challenge you to find any faith in the world. And, you know, if you're Buddhist in here, if you're atheist, if you're a Man City fan, you're all welcome, okay, in this room. I forgot my train of thought because I thought that was a good joke then, but it didn't kind of resonate in the room. I really regret doing some ad-lib there. So it doesn't matter what you believe today, because this thing about Jesus exists nowhere else in the history of humanity. Where God exists, where God came to us and then invites us to touch his wounds. That word, Wikipedia, that one. Google that one, I challenge you. This is what Jesus did. He invites us to touch his wounds. Has anybody ever touched your wound? Maybe you've cut yourself, maybe you've grazed your knee, and someone says, oh, let me have a look at it, and they maul the fingers, and you're like, get off, it hurts. And it's sore, right? And just like Jesus, imagine holding out a wound. Someone's saying, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. But you touch me. I don't really know what that means, but I know this, is that if Jesus is willing to feel pain time and time again, what does that say about his character and motive? Here's the thing. Thomas didn't even touch his wound. You see in the paintings, these old Greco-Roman paintings where his finger is in his side, which is, well, if you ask me, he didn't actually do that. In fact, the story indicates the opposite. Jesus said, touch it, touch the holes in my hands and the spear, all that side stuff, touch all the holes in my head where the crown of thorns was. But he didn't. He said, wow, you're Jesus, like the Lord our God. I think it's incredible sometimes that we expect God to show up right in front of us when sometimes we just need to see God in action to believe it. We want physical evidence. When actually, when we just see Jesus unfold, we can't not say yes, because it's real. Han used to work for the NHS, and which is great. You get brilliant health cover. Health insurance is great. So I will say a joke at some point today that will make someone laugh, okay? So she worked for the NHS, and Amy, who's a friend, they started, Amy still works there actually, they started this thing called Skin Camouflage, which is a phenomenal project that people who have self-harmed or people who have tried to commit suicide, they have scars and marks. And what they would do and what they still do is they go and they meet with them and they create some makeup that matches the color of the skin. So then, and they teach them how to, and they give it them for free, apply this makeup so it goes over the scar so you can see it less, and they have therefore more confidence to go out and live a life and start rebuilding. How great is that? That's great. So, but she said something really interesting to me today. She said, do you know, when you get a wound and the scar goes over it, that's not like fully healed. Like, that's just the skin bit. A lot of you know more about this than me, okay? But this is my layman's term. Some of you professional medicine people thingies in here, okay? And the scar heals over, but yet deep tissue inside is still repairing. And it could take months and years. Isn't it funny that when we get a wound in our life, and that it starts to scar over and become healed, still when someone mentions it or you remember it, it still hurts a little bit? Because what's happened is there's deep tissue, there's soul work going on. That's okay. Sometimes it takes time to heal. Even in this story, what happens in the end is that Jesus walks away from this, and he starts doing miracles. And then a few weeks later, obviously his wounds are starting to heal up, and he actually leaves them. He said, go into all the world and tell people about me and baptize them and just go for it, guys. I love you. Again, that's BTV version. Just go for it. And then it says he ascends into heaven. He almost evaporates into the heavens. Now, I know that's weird, right? Okay, it is weird, and that's fine. If we all agree that it's weird, that's cool. It doesn't mean it's wrong. X Factor's weird, and some of you love that. That is weird. Now, the disciples were stood there watching him go. Now, when we sort of move on into the afterlife, we leave our bodies behind. It's like creation recycles itself. It's almost like our bodies go from dust to dust. But our souls carry on, and they go to heaven. So we get new bodies or get new forms in heaven. But Jesus doesn't. Like, if we actually read this story, what it's like in the book of Acts, chapter 1, if you want to look at it later on, he takes his body with him, which means that Jesus looks totally different than anyone else in heaven. Isn't that interesting? Now imagine the scene. The trumpets are going in heaven. Austin's playing on his keyboards. Isaac's singing, hallelujah. You've got Josh on the drums, and you've got people going crazy. And it's, Jesus is here. Jesus has come back. He did it. Yeah, he did it. And imagine what they saw. This man looking like a rag doll with holes and scars and marks where there shouldn't be marks. And he walks to the pearly gates. I don't know what it is. The pearly gates. Now, do you think people were disgusted by that? Do you think people looked at him and thought, ew, like, don't come near me, like when you hug someone you don't want to hug, and you're like, okay, tap, 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 thank you, nice to see you, see you next Christmas. I think they celebrated those scars. I think they looked at those scars and they said, thank you, God, that you did that. He didn't judge him, didn't look at him and think, oh, that's horrible, because here's the deal. Your scars are your story. And the scars that Jesus had on his hands and his feet and his body were his story. His story of grace. His story of hope. his story of determination, his story of love for you and I. And as he stands with holes on his body, he stands as a testament to his own determination and the effortless love of God. His scars tell a story, and so do yours. Band, why don't you come up? We'll wrap up in just a minute. I'd love to sing that chorus of "How Great Thou Art." How good is that? I'm not sure what it means, but it's fantastic, isn't it? It means how great you are, God, in old Wigan language. Jesus looks different because of his scars. Do you ever feel like you look different because of your scars? I do. Because here's the truth. We all get wounded. And we all get beaten. And there are things in our life that some are scars still healing. Some are scars that are completely fine. And sometimes there's just those wounds that haven't yet healed. The problem is when we leave those wounds, what happens? It becomes infected and we become bitter. Don't be ashamed of those scars. Listen to me. Don't be ashamed of those scars. Because your scars, it's your story. It's a story of love, of grace, of hope, of determination. And does God look at those scars? Do people look at those scars in disgust? No. They see the glory within your story. Here's the reality. Some of us shouldn't be in the room right now. Maybe that's you. Some of us shouldn't be in the room right now, but we are. You know the old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? You heard of that saying? Okay, well, I disagree with that. Because what killed Jesus makes me strong. The wounds that you carry are not there to kill you. In fact, they're the very thing that will bring you back to life. What's the old quote? By whose wounds I am healed. By whose wounds we are healed. Why don't we stand to our feet? I'm just going to create a moment of reflection and response, and we can sing together and move on. I was praying into this the other day. I've been praying into this, planning this message. It takes a number of hours to put something like this together. And I really felt God tell me that Jesus invited Thomas to touch his wounds. I think God wants us to invite him to touch our wounds. You know Thomas, he looked at Jesus' hands and he saw it. But we know that when Jesus touches us, we're healed. All we need to do is reach out and say, God, I have this thing and it's an open chapter at the minute and I need you to sort it. I need you to bring some comfort, some healing. Now, one day, the wound that you might be carrying, and it could be physical, could be mental, could be emotional. There's a lot of emotion in the room just because people are confronting some truth. That's fine. This is a safe space. Well, some of you, those wounds won't last forever. In fact, if you let God touch you in just a very honest way, he'll turn that into a scar. Well, one day you'll say, I shouldn't be here. See, me and my wife have suffered our first share of depression and anxiety over the years. I should not be here. But by the grace of God, he can. And I wear the scars proudly. And so should you. And one day, an open wound at the minute will become a scar that you will reflect back on. And you will say, hey, look at this scar here. Look at this. This was the day someone betrayed me. But I trusted again. This here on my leg. This on my leg here was the day where I let my family down. but now I've been forgiven and we're in a better season, we're in the best season we've ever had. You might say this, or here even, where my heart is. When I was a kid, someone spoke something over my life that I believed, but I managed to redefine myself and I've not become the history in my family. I've started a fresh generation, a fresh line in my family. It's a scar. You might have believed time and time again the stuff in your mind that you should not believe. And God is ready to close that wound and turn it into a scar. Because your scar is your story, and your story has not finished yet. It is not the final chapter. In fact, it's the start of a new chapter where today on Resurrection Sunday, you've decided that I am going to start again. I'm going to start again. What has been is no longer. Come on now. What has been is no longer, but today. Today I am choosing to be born again. I'm starting again. Some of you shouldn't be here. But the wounds that should have killed you were the very thing that brought you back to life. Your scars are your story. What do we say? What was the first thing we said? I'm only as close to God as I am honest. So in this moment now, all I'm going to ask for, if people want to respond, is just honesty. I'm not in your world, you're not in mine. I ask for honesty. Because we know that when we are honest, he's so quick to appear before us and say, peace to you.